Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. In this, the 11th part of our Theology for Ministry series, we look at how we can become part of the body of Christ. Paul uses the illustration of the human body with its many parts, and just as the many parts of the human body work in concert with each other, so we as the body of Christ work together to build the kingdom of God here on earth, and we each have a part. So grab your Bible, turn it to Romans chapter 12, and join us as we look at conforming to the body of Christ. Please take out your Bibles, either the ones in the pews or the ones that you brought with you, and turn in them with me to the book of Romans chapter 12. If you're using your pew Bible, it is on page 165 of the New Testament. Romans chapter 12. We have been this summer looking at the book of Romans in depth, going almost verse by verse. And we've been in a sermon series called Theology for Ministry. And we are all called to ministry. We are all called to ministry. Ministry is not just for the people in the pulpit. Ministry is not just for the people in committees. Ministry is for all believers. And so, with that in mind, we look at today's reading, which Paul talks about being parts of the body of Christ. So let us hear the word for us this morning. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the miracles of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. May God pour out His rich blessing upon this, the reading of His holy word. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I first returned to church in 2008, I went back to the church that I belonged to as a youth, as a child growing up. I belonged to Pittman United Methodist Church, is the church that I grew up in. And so when Aaron and I decided to go back to church, that's the church that we went to. Now, the first day that we sat in the pews, we sat in the very back. We didn't want to be noticed. And I heard an exceptional sermon that day from the pastor, Lainey Price. She preached about forgiveness, and she talked about how she had to forgive her own mother, who had been very abusive to her when she was growing up and had tried to kill her as a child. Now this woman was suffering from dementia, and she was living with Lainey. And her behavior was very trying. And in the course of this sermon, Lainey said that she had told her husband, Fred, I want to kill my mother. And I thought, wow, did she just say that in a sermon? You know, she's a human being. She has real feelings like anybody else. But she shared them. And I thought, this is fantastic. This is just what I've always wanted to see. And I liked her preaching a lot. But it was on that day that I also made contact with someone that I've known all my life, a woman by the name of Sue Crispin. Sue Crispin is the music director at Pittman. And when I was 5 years old, I started taking organ lessons from Sue. I took organ and piano lessons from her until I was 11. That doesn't mean a whole lot. If you ask me to play something today, I can play for you The Entertainer, and that's about it. But I went up to her afterwards, and I was talking to her, and one of the things she said to me was, "Are you still playing any musical instruments?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I play guitar." I didn't tell her that I play guitar in a punk rock band, but I said, "Oh, yeah, I play guitar." And she says, "Well, we could use a guitarist in our praise and worship service." And I said, "Mm-hmm." I didn't want to play guitar in praise and worship service because for a couple reasons. Number one, At that time, I didn't like Christian contemporary music at all. I thought it was just really not good music. And the second thing was, I'm not that very good at guitar. That's why I was in a punk rock band, because I'm terrible at guitar, you know? Yeah, I could bang on some like power chords and I could scream into the microphone, but if it took actual musicianship, I wouldn't be able to do it. Of course, and I played like that for like 25 years. So, but then she said, "The only thing is we don't have a drummer." And then my ears went up and I was like, "Ah, well, you know, I'm actually a much better drummer than a guitarist." See, I actually went to college to learn to be a professional percussionist at one time. And I played drums for many years. I played drums since I was 14. And it's something that I'm actually quite good at. You know, I think God has definitely blessed me with a sense of rhythm. And so I heard myself say to her, "Well, I can play the drums." And then I was like, "Oh my gosh, what did I just say? I could play the drums." And that afternoon, I actually brought my drum set over with the Max the Dork logo on the front, you know? That's the name of my band, by the way, Max the Dork. We're really good. Anyway, I played, and when I played, I found myself wanting to be just that steady beat. Just that steady beat. You see, in a band, there are many things that are needed. You have a rhythm. You have a harmony. You have the melody. You have the words. But that beat is always there. And when that beat's not there, you notice it. You notice it. Because then the guitarist is trying to speed things up, and the bass player is trying to slow things down, and the vocalist is doing whatever the vocalist is doing. But if you have that beat, that steady, constant beat in the background, everything comes together. Now, I'm saying that with all humility as a drummer. I'm not saying that the drummer is the most important part of the band. But I will say this. This week, I dug up an old picture of my drums sitting on the altar up there. And I posted it on Facebook, and I said, "I miss those days." And I was really surprised at how many people responded. "We miss you as our drummer." Because they don't have a drummer now. I kind of went on and did something else, you know. But I haven't played the drums for Pittman for a year. And they notice, you know. But it's not about me. It's about worshiping God. And that's what I want to talk about today. Paul talks about being a living sacrifice. Verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Well, nowadays we don't really understand the full concept of what it means to be a sacrifice. See, in Paul's time, everybody knew what a sacrifice was. They had temples in Rome that would perform animal sacrifices to the point where they had channels dug into the road that would go from the top of the hill where the temple was all the way down, and the channel was for the blood from the animal sacrifices to go down into the water below. What a horrible stench it must have been, but they understood what a sacrifice was. For them, a sacrifice meant death. Death of the animal. But a sacrifice also meant that it had to be something that mattered. In the book of Leviticus, God said that the lamb sacrifice has to be a perfect lamb, without blemish, without spot. Why is that? Because it had to matter. It had to be something that you would know. It was a sacrifice. It had to mean something. And if you were to sacrifice a lame lamb or one that had spots on it that you couldn't use the wool, well, that wouldn't make any difference. Then you're just getting rid of something that you would have gotten rid of anyway. But it had to be a sacrifice that mattered, that meant something. And so it had to be perfect and without blemish, without spot. And when God offered up His Son, Jesus was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice. But now Paul is saying that we should be a living sacrifice, meaning that the time that we offer, our gifts and our talents that we offer, should be something that matters to us, something that means something, something that we notice, something that costs something. And we should give up the best part of ourselves for the glory of God. He says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed that by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That we may know the will of God, we ought to be conformed, not to this world, but transformed in our minds. The world will tell us many things that are acceptable to the world that are not acceptable to God. For example, in 1973, the Supreme Court decided on the Roe versus Wade and legalized abortion. And since 1973, 56 million babies have been killed. 56 million in America alone. Is that something that God would see as something good? Is that something that the world says, it's okay? It's a form of birth control. We don't want the population getting too big. Well, that's what the world says. Lately, there have been laws that have been passed in a couple of states, Washington and Colorado, that legalize the recreational use of marijuana. This past spring, Aaron and I were in Washington on our annual fishing trip, and I was amazed in such a short amount of time at how the whole area has been transformed. There are, you see, a lot of stores around that have little green crosses on them that indicates that they are allowed to sell marijuana for recreational use. And as walking around the zoo, there were people who were just walking around, had a joint stuck behind their ear. And I'm going, what have we become? How did we get to this place? The world says it's fine. God's word says that we are to remain sober and vigilant. Because when we are not, that's when we are at our weakest and when the evil one comes and starts to whisper in our ears of other things. The world tells us many things that are okay that God says they're not okay. And they stand in stark contrast to one another. But we have to make that choice because we don't live for the 100 years that we live here on earth. We live for the eternity that we will spend with our God. And that's the choice that we make. Are we living for now? Or are we living for eternity? So Paul says, be not conformed to this world. And then he says, as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. He uses the image of a body, the human body. And the human body is an amazing machine. It works in symphony with itself. When's the last time you actually gave any thought to your pancreas's function? Or when's the last time you actually consciously made your heart beat? There's a lot of things that happen in our bodies that happen automatically, and we don't even think about those things until they stop working. Until they stop working. I gave absolutely no thought whatsoever to my bladder until it started acting up. Now it's all I think about is that bladder. You know? Well, it's like that with the body of Christ. There's so many things that happen in this church. And I'm absolutely amazed as a pastor to see all the things that happen that just happen on their own. Things that take care of themselves. And you never think about those things until somebody stops doing them. And then all of a sudden, it's all everybody can think about. Nobody's doing this. Nobody's doing this. Well, who was doing it before? I don't know. Now we don't. Now we know that it was being done, and now it's not. It's the same way in the body of Christ as it is in our bodies. That when something stops working, you notice it. You never really notice your back and how much your back does until it stops working. And then it's all you think about. And you're, oh my gosh, when my back starts to hurt, I can't do anything. Anything at all. You know? So with the body of Christ, we all have our place. We all have our function. And God blesses us with gifts to do things. Everybody's blessed with a certain gift. In my case, at Pittman, God had blessed me with the ability to play the drums, of all things. Of all things, playing the drums. But that led also to other things. It got me more engaged in the Sunday school. And then I became a teacher and then a youth leader. And I started speaking more. I became a lay speaker. Until I've now become your pastor. And all these things were building on one another so that I could find my place in the body of Christ and use the gifts that God gives me to glorify Him. You see, everything that we do, every gift that God gives us is to glorify God. I ask you, what talents do you have? What things are you able to do for the body of Christ? It might seem like such a small thing, but you don't know how that small thing might grow. On July 15th, a man went on YouTube and challenged three of his friends to give money to the ALS Association. Because his cousin had died. And he wanted to do something. And so he challenged them. He said, I want you to give $100 to the ALS Association. But if you don't want to do that, give just $10. But you have to pour a bucket of ice water on your head. It started with him. July 15th. Well, as it progressed, it got down to a man by the name of Pete Freights, who was a former professional baseball player who was suffering from ALS himself. And Pete challenged Tom Brady, quarterback of the New England Patriots. And from there, it just exploded. This past week, my wife and I participated in the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. If you have Facebook, you can see the video evidence. We had a lot of fun. We did it out in the back. And even Isaac got into it. We gave him a little cup about this big with ice water in it. Had him sitting in his little pool out there. And people think it's silly. It's just people dumping ice on themselves. You know, what difference is this really making? People making a fool of themselves. I'll tell you what the difference is. As of last Monday, the ALS Foundation had raised, because of the Ice Bucket Challenge, $15.8 million since July 15th. In 1 month, $15.8 million. In the same amount of time last year, they had raised $1.6 million. So $14 million more this year than last year. Does it make a difference? You tell me. This past week, it absolutely exploded. I checked it this morning, and in just 1 week, they raised $45 million. $62.5 million since July 15th for the ALS Foundation. All because of one man who wanted to pour a bucket of ice on himself and challenged three friends to do the same. We might think that what we do doesn't matter, but every little thing contributes to the body of Christ. Every little thing. Imagine if Charles Kennedy had never decided to do anything. Imagine if Charles Kennedy had decided to just give $100 to the ALS Foundation and that was it. That's an amazing thought. So what talents do we have? How can we use those talents to glorify God? You know, I thought playing the drums, I remember I was very excited about playing the drums in church. It was something that I had never seen in the church growing up. Was drums. And I went home and I made a post on my blog. I said, I'm drumming for Jesus. I was so excited. I could actually use my talents to glorify God. And that's what it's about. It's not about any attention that I get myself. And anytime anybody would ever come to me and say, I really like the way you play the drums, the first thing I would say is, God blessed me with that talent to glorify Him. I am just so grateful that God allows me to play the drums for Him. What a simple thing. But are we doing, we're using the talents that God gave us for God's glory, or are we using it for our own? I found that as a musician, I could only go so far when I was trying to glorify myself. In my band, we were kind of a novelty. We sang a lot of stupid songs, and we had some songs that people liked, but we had a little bit of a name for ourselves in South Jersey. But that's about it. You know, and a week after we would play, people would forget who we were. Didn't matter. But here it is a year after I stopped playing drums at Pittman, and people know Brett's not playing the drums anymore. Now, that's not about me. It's about the body of Christ. It's about being a member of the body of Christ. So are we living for eternity, or are we living for right now? That's really what it all comes down to. And that's what Paul says. You know, we're all given many talents. Are we using them to glorify God? Or are we using them for our own needs? Now, that's not to say that we can't use the talents that God gives us for our own purposes. I mean, certainly God has blessed me with an analytical mind, and so I work in computers. That's my livelihood. It's how I pay the bills. That's okay. But the talents that God gives me, I use to to glorify Him, to bless Him, to praise Him. Every single Sunday I come into worship, I want to lift up God. God gave me life. And not only did He give me life, He saved my life. Physically and spiritually. In every way that I could be saved. And I owe everything to God. So why wouldn't I want to give up some of my talent, my time, and my energy to praise and worship Him and to help others do the same? I ask you, just search within yourselves. What are your talents? How can you use those talents to glorify God? How can you get engaged? Because, like I said, Sue got me engaged in the band. I thought that the preacher was really cool. But on that first day, I was engaged in the worship team. And I had a part to play in the body of Christ. And less than 6 months later, when Lainey was appointed to another church, I didn't give any thought to the fact that she was going and we were getting a new pastor. Not because I didn't care about her. I cared about her a great deal. I thought she was a fantastic preacher. But I also knew that God had given me a place in that church. And so, that was my part in the body of Christ. What is your part? Are we using our talents to glorify Him or ourselves? Are we living for right now? Are we living for eternity? Let us pray. Lord God, we thank You for the many talents that You have blessed us with. And we pray, Lord, that You will show us how we can use those gifts to lift You up. For every time that somebody may come to us with praise for our own efforts, that we may deflect that praise straight to You. For all of these things come from You and are of You. And so, Lord, we lift You up in our praise, in our worship. Not just on Sunday morning, but every hour of every day. We lift You up. We praise You. And we give thanks for Your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is in His name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pettertown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. If our message has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.